It's here and now. Like many World War II veterans, Steve Maharaj didn't really talk about his war experiences. He was a Marine, he served in the Pacific, and fought in the very bloody battles on Guam and Okinawa near the end of the war in 1945. He came home, got married to his wife Joan, and started a family. But Steve was an angry and damaged man. His son Dale grew up believing that his father's rage stemmed from those war experiences, but he didn't know why. The only clue was a photo his father always kept near him, a photo that showed his dad and another young Marine named Herman Mulligan. Dale decided to find out what happened to Mulligan and also to his father. The result is his new book, Bringing Mulligan Home, The Other Side of the Good War. He joins us from NPR in New York. Dale, welcome to Here and Now.
Great to be here.
Dale, you've said that your dad was the best man and the worst man in the world, and that the needle could go in either way in the same day. So tell us more about him. Tell us more about that.
My father could blow up with these raging fits. We could be at the dinner table. One of us kids would spill a glass of water, and he would just flip. And at a very early age, I connected it with the war. There was a picture in our basement, him and a man on Guadalcanal. I was in the basement with him one day, and he starts shouting to me. He's telling me the story about who the guy was. They blame me, but I didn't kill him. It wasn't my fault. And then he never talked about that picture ever again. That picture haunted me through my entire youth.
So obviously, as you said, your father never talked about that picture again, but you never forgot it. So tell us about what you did later on, what you discovered about the photograph.
He died in 2000, and I decided I have to learn about his war. And I began a 12-year quest to find as many men from his company and talk and learn and find out what happened. Ultimately, I found 29 men, and the quest became bigger than the picture. I learned in my quest that my father had two major blast concussion injuries. As we know more today, it's affecting the soldiers from Iraq and Afghanistan. It affects football players. Traumatic brain injury is extremely debilitating. My father's behavior, his screaming, his craziness, is one symptom of TBI. And I started meeting these guys. I started meeting their kids. And I learned that our house was not abnormal,
yeah.
That there were many, many troubled families out there. World War II never ended for a lot of these guys and their families by extension.
Was there any one of the men that you spoke to that stood out in particular, any one of the Marines in your father's company?
There was a man, Joseph P. Rossblock. I called Mr. Rossblock, and I said, is this Mr. Rossblock who was on Okinawa? And he says, what do you want him for? Very, very angry, very mean. And I blurted what I was doing, trying to find out about my father's war and this man in the picture. And he, very tenuous conversation, and we left it where we were going to talk 2 weeks later. When I called back, he talked for an hour like a motor mouth. And at the end, he said, you're the first person I've ever talked to about the war.
Huh. What's one of the things he told you?
Well, it turns out he carried the body of the man in the picture. What happened was Mr. Mulligan had thrown a grenade into a burial tomb on Okinawa, and it had concealed an estimated 2,000 pounds of Japanese munitions. And it went up like a volcano. And Mr. Rossblock watched a 3-foot piece of the room come down on Mulligan. My father was no more than two dozen feet away from Mr. Rossblock. He had the same blast concussion that Joe had. And so, very painfully, I began to understand my father and why he was the way he was.
Hmm. So you mentioned the name of the man in the picture, Mr. Mulligan. Tell us just a little bit about him.
He still remains rather an enigma. I never was able to find his family members, but I learned from the guys in the company that he was half Irish and half Jewish. He came from South Carolina. He was poor. The family was textile mill workers. His mother had died in 1940. He had a great sense of humor. Guys liked him. They remembered him. But they didn't really remember what happened to his body. His body vanished. And to this day, he's registered as an unknown.
Right.
What I think happened, my father, when he said, they blame me, my father was squad leader, and he may have ordered Mulligan to throw the grenade into the tomb. And I also learned from the guys in the company that Mulligan was a hemophiliac. Huh. He didn't have a chance.
Dale, your journey eventually took you to Okinawa. You mentioned the tomb. You find the place where Herman Mulligan was killed. But something happened right there, right before you came home. Can you tell us what happened?
every night I was on Okinawa for 2 weeks, I would go to the tomb where it had blown up, and there was still half of it was a blown up site grown in with jungle, and there was a new tomb next to it. And on the last night, just before I came back to the States, there was a man there, and I had witnessed another Japanese soldier praying at the death site of one of his buddies, burning incense and having kind of a little ceremony. And I decided maybe I would need to do a ceremony. I'm not going to find Mr. Mulligan. I'd taken my incense. And this man, Junichi, said, he spoke a little English. He said, "I will pray with you." Turns out his family had the tomb next door. And it was a very magical moment, because at the very end, I thanked him for helping me, you know, do the ceremony. And he said, "No, thank you." And he had said, "No more war." And I went to shake his hand, and he hugged me. And no more war. No more war. Hmm. We don't have closure in life, but that was a moment of. But at that point, I really had understood my father. I felt my journey had ended.
You know, that moment also brings together the threads of suffering across continents that the Battle of Okinawa left. I mean, 12,000 American soldiers died, 100,000 Japanese soldiers, 150,000 civilians. And just that fact in itself and the journey that you took to discover more about your father, you know, makes me think about how many untold stories and experiences every war leaves behind. So for people who have read your book, who have connections to the soldiers who fought in World War II, you must be touching a very sensitive nerve there. What kind of response have you gotten?
Overwhelming. Every day, on average, one or two emails or Facebook posts, handwritten letters from sons and daughters of World War II soldiers saying, "We had the same father." I had an email early in the week from a woman who told me her dad killed himself in 1961. He had screaming nightmares, and he couldn't take it anymore. A few days later, a woman emailed me. Her father, she found out after he died, he was afraid he was going to hurt his family because of his raging fits. He had a lobotomy. I'm hearing from today's soldiers. It's overwhelming how this is touching a nerve.
You know, I think about relationships with parents and with fathers in particular. And so many people, in a sense, don't get the opportunity that you got in terms of trying to discover who this person truly was. And I hear in your voice and what you're describing that you reached a new understanding about your father. So at the end of all this, where does this leave you?
My fondest hope is that there's a child out there who has a parent, a mother or a father, who probably will have trauma. There's many of them out there with traumatic brain injury from Iraq or Afghanistan. And they'll read my book someday, and they'll understand their parent a little better, be a little more understanding. If I'd have had this knowledge, I'd like to think that I would have been more understanding with my father.
Well, Dale Maharaj's new book is Bringing Mulligan Home, The Other Side of the Good War. We've got an excerpt and some photographs, including that one key photograph that led to Dale's journey. It's all at hereandnow.org. Dale, thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
I appreciate it, Magda. Thank you.
Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Please join us again here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.